The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Actually, your mic is still not on.
We have such great starts to this day. We come running in here like a bunch of maniacs.
All right, somebody swap mics again. You're on mic four. You're supposed to be on mic three. That's because someone reversed
there are
it.
So
can
many,
you hear me?
So many good
can
jo-
you hear me now?
Joe Dirt jokes there.
I'm from Verizon. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear
one,
me now?
Mic two.
Okay.
That was Joe Dirt.
Let's start all over.
Oh, okay.
We're from We the People
Please,
Radio.
Da, 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 da. Okay, go ahead.
You're joining Elizabeth and Aaron and Bob. Another Sunday morning in the land of politics. It has been quite a week. Hey, we want to have you join us. Either give us a call or join the chat room or jump onto our webpage and follow along as we spend the next couple of hours. Go to wethepeopleradio.us or give us a call at 530-605-4567. Either way, we want to hear from you. We want you to join us. We want you to follow along. This show is all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. And if you jump on our webpage, you will see links to every show that we have ever done in the last 18 or so months, and you can click on any one of those links and email it directly out to anyone that you know anywhere. This show is designed to provide you information that you will not get in the mainstream media, things that will affect you no matter where you live. Did I cover it? It has been quite a
week.
Did
you say high-speed rail?
I figured we would get into that.
Let's pick that scab.
Okay, so we did have a rough week.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is your wake-up call. Okay, when you talk to your friends and family, please don't assume anything. When you talk to your friends and family, don't get mad at them.
Unless it's us.
Don't just gripe about the government. Ask them where they are with Jerry Brown's tax increases. Kind of for or against in general, you know. And anybody who says they're slightly for them or they're thinking it might be a good idea or we'd probably need the money or anything that isn't, are you kidding me? I would never vote for that. Please remind them that they just voted to fund high-speed rail.
And,
except for it's not going to be high-speed.
And what is it? Is it $63 billion?
Oh, no,
98.5. Okay. Now, here's my beef on this whole high-speed rail.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that...
The AP story yesterday said $68 million. I'm like, okay, where did they get that figure?
Yeah.
That might be after they slowed it down because it's no longer high-speed. Now it's just... slow speed like Amtrak that we already have.
So, okay, so here's my beef, okay? First of all, for at least the first 10 years, if in fact they ever get it off the ground, it's going to run from, what, Madera to...
Bakersfield.
And isn't there like a maximum security prison in each one of those towns? Am I correct?
In the general vicinity of Bakersfield,
okay.
Yes.
So is this little snippet of a high-speed rail going to be for those families visiting their loved ones in prison? Seriously.
We can use it to shuttle prisoners.
Are we
going to
get in our car and drive to Madera?
They'll be the only ones that have any money because it's going to be like $125 a ticket or something like that.
So here's the thing. Okay, so some of our more left-leaning friends think that this is really cool because, oh, we're going to be just like Europe. I am so tired of listening to people say that they want us to be like Europe. And these are the folks that go over there as tourists. I've been there as a tourist. Yeah, it's cool. But you know what? You don't live there. You don't pay their taxes. You don't suffer through their socialism. Okay? And Europe, geographically, is not the same size as the United States. So even though you go over to Europe and you think it's really neat to jump on trains everywhere you go, and I, in fact, have done that myself, it is not plausible here.
And let me give you a snippet.
Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, not my snippet yet.
I'm not quite off
Hold
my soapbox.
Snippet.
Why would anyone want to be like Europe right now? Are you completely blind to the fact that they're disintegrating before our very eyes? Are you blind to that fact? Okay, I'm done.
I just gave you a moment of silence there at the end.
Thank you.
Okay, let's talk ridership just for fun. The business plan predicts that in 2030, Okay, that's a long time.
I provide
from
the
now.
Emotion.
How old are we in 2030?
I provide the emotion. You provide the facts,
and that's all screwed up. It's usually the totally the other way around. So you provide the facts, and I goof off. We're switching roles. It's because I arrived angry.
Yeah, so I was here pissed off too.
Before we went on the air,
everybody was ranting.
Aaron that was providing the emotion, but
I was all ranted up. Okay, so the business plan predicts that in 2030. And so we're, quite a bit older now. We're in our 70s. That's when we get the shot from Obamacare and get euthanized because we're old.
That's the pill to take this pill, go home, and don't call the doctor in the morning.
I like it better when it says shot. Seems scarier. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the business plan in 2030 predicts that 14,400 passengers per day will board the southbound trains in Merced, beautiful downtown metropolitan Merced. That is more than... get this, the daily departures last year from the busiest Amtrak depot in the United States, which would be Penn Station. I'm thinking, population-based, New York City, Penn Station. And I'm thinking, Merced? Sure. I can totally see it. 2030. Yeah. And with the business climate we have going on now?
Yeah.
Holy cow, it doesn't get better
excited.
Than that.
This state is on its way to prosperity.
I got a call from a business owner at 10 o'clock last night, just getting ripped on permits and this and that and the other for the first time, looking at laying people off because they can't figure out how to get around the bureaucracy and they're afraid to oppose
and
them.
And this is a local business.
Local business, because they're afraid to oppose them. So they hire they employ 30-something people a year.
And wasn't the business owner encouraged to
was extra special.
Fax their permits, and if they used a permit taker that happened to be a good friend of the bureaucrat that they were speaking with, that they would...
Yeah, that deal would work out a lot better.
If they hired their friend.
I haven't gotten down to the weeds on that one, but unbelievable. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of absolutely crazy. We're going to talk about the Hound Bill and some other things, and we probably ought to get to the Humane Society here, because if people aren't mad now, they'll be mad later.
So, and we do want to say up front that the Humane Society of the United States is not affiliated with any of your local Haven Humane Societies.
Most of the time.
I mean, they might get a little bit of funding, but I hear it's about 1%.
Yeah, it's pathetically low.
So if you're sending money to the Humane Society of the United States and you think it's going to your local Haven Humane Society, probably not.
No,
keep your donations about as local as you can get.
Hold on, that's my sound on my computer.
Sounds like a train.
No, it's Carl's motorcycle. Oh. It was going to begin playing a commercial.
It's usually me that forgets to mute my computer.
Well, it usually doesn't have sound on the chat room. I guess that's changed
on
again.
On some of the flash ads, as we call them, there is sound. I believe that might have been Redding Harley-Davidson.
Oh, maybe that was it. Yeah.
So today we're gonna blow your illusions out of the water. We're going to have you.
We're going to be real nice and talk about sunshine and puppy. Oh, no, that's not it.
Yeah, we're gonna destroy all of your illusions, because that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, that's what we do. We talk about
the truth.
Yeah,
the
we truth. talk about sometimes scary. A lot of people who read the article that we sent out with the show, I got back some really interesting responses. The name of the article: HSUS. That's Humane Society of the United States. Heretofore, we will call it HSUS to save time. The mob and the black egg. And I think you would be very interested to read that article. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
Follow along.
And so let's click over. We have Diane Amble with us, and I do not have a great bio on her.
Now, do we want to take our first break before
she's an investigative journalist?
Do you think?
Oh, it's 8:40.
Well, we have her on the line.
We do have her on the line. Let's say hi, and she can tell us what she wants to tell us about herself, and then we'll
render our first break.
Then we'll move on. Diane, are you hiding in there?
Yeah, here I am. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hello.
So we didn't scare you, did we? Because sometimes when people haven't been on the show before,
Diane deals with the Humane Society.
And they listen to our intro, they're like, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into?
Some kind of nutty show. No, she's bringing all the hobgoblins with her.
I'm not afraid of you guys, that's for sure, or the radio show. I've spent 3 hours in a room with Wayne Pacelli and Bruce Frederick from... PETA and these kind of organizations. So yeah, you want to talk about scary? Those people are scary.
So what would you like to share with folks about your background? You're an investigative journalist. Is that really what you're called?
Yes, that's right. Freelance. I'm a member of the Los Angeles Press Club. But I'm a small businesswoman in San Francisco, automotive business. I'm a mom, six kids.
Really? And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I sort of got dragged into this fracas when a bill came up called AB 1634, which was to be the mandatory spay-neuter of dogs and cats in California. That was put up by Lloyd Levine. And I had just bought an Afghan hound. I love them. I can't live without them. And the breeder in Maryland said, "You know what's happening in California?" I'm like, "No, what's happening?" He says, "You're not going to be able to breed your dog or do anything with your dog. There won't even be any more dogs." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So I went and looked at it, and I took that bill to a really wonderful friend of mine who is a genius, a veterinarian, and I said, "What do you think about this bill where they want to do mandatory spay-neuter to dogs and cats?" And he read it. He's in Santa Clara. He's an absolute genius. He was the researcher for Linus Pauling, the only man that ever won, or person that ever won the Nobel Prize twice. And he read it. He sat there and he sat back in his chair. He's 80-some years old. And he said, "Well, whoever wrote this needs to be neutered immediately." And I'm like, "Well, that's what I thought. This doesn't make any sense." And I got involved at that point seeing what they're doing here, animal law, in California, and just became a grassroots activist along with my kids. They'd go to the Capitol with me and all kinds of people I met, dog club people, cat club people, all kinds of people I know now, farmers, ranchers, hunters, lots of friends, hunters. The hunters have been actually under the gun by these animal laws from the very beginning. They were the first strike. But when you start to see the pattern, for instance, in that article, if you read it, Hitler, the Nazis put through 32 animal protection laws in their first days of power. And that we see that happening right now. So you look for trends and patterns, and it looks like they're working Mein Kampf, the book that Hitler wrote. It looks like they're going using his
what kind
plan
of,
here okay, in I'll, California.
I'll be the dope. What kind of animal control laws?
In Hitler's day?
Yeah.
Well, first it was sort of a propaganda thing, and they said, and I heard this, actually, I have interviewed survivors of the Holocaust, both townspeople that were not put on concentration camps and concentration camp survivors, and they started to say, "Well, you mustn't mistreat animals, so if you see anybody," and they would put these announcements. Every week, everybody went to the movies. You paid, I don't know, 5 cents because there was no television. You would go there. And on the film reel, there would first be the Nazi propaganda. And they would come out and say, don't whip the horse. If you see anybody whipping a horse or beating a dog. And remember, people would whip a horse because they were plowing fields or whatever or still going in a carriage or hauling, their goods. They were still using horses everywhere way back then. Very few people had cars. And they began to villainize anybody that would do anything against an animal, and then they began to talk about the vivisection of animals. There were vivisectionists among us, and they targeted the Jews, saying they were being cruel to animals by being vivisectionists, which is basically means slaughter. You kill the animal, you cut it up, and you eat it.
Sure.
So they villainized them, so they began to have laws against the kosher slaughter, which we even see now they're trying here in the United States and other places in the world to make it illegal to do kosher slaughter. They kill the animal in a different way. They slice the throat instead of a bolt to the brain or something of that nature. I mean, I'm not that up on it. But you see the same exact pattern, and people are not learning from history, not seeing what's going on. And the more I looked into it, the more I saw that really, boy, what are we going to Nazi days again? And people say, "Oh, my God, don't say that word. It so offends me to talk about the Nazis. How dare you?" And I'm like, "Oh, my God, you know who's offended? The millions of people that were killed by them and cooked in ovens and everything else. They'd like me to speak out and say, hey, don't you see what's happening?" When I talked to these Holocaust survivors, and even, again, the townspeople of Germany, they said, you need to tell everybody, can't people see here in the United States, this is the same exact thing that's happening. All the same patterns are happening. The control of guns, taking of animals, animal laws. This is what happened in the early Nazi days, just before they were coming into control. They weren't even in full control. For instance, they started the gun registry. You want to talk about hunting. They start, you know, back then they were just using the guns for hunting. So they said you had to register your guns. So the good people of the towns in Germany, it's all a bunch of little towns, went to the city hall and put their name down. They had a certain gun. Well, before the Nazis were even in power, they stormed, the brown shirts stormed the little tiny town halls, city halls, got the list, went door to door, and demanded the people turn over their guns. And if they said, and I got this information from an eyewitness, this happened to his family, they'll ask for the gun. They say, you have this such-and-such gun. We want it. And if you refuse to give it or say you don't even have it anymore, which could be the case, or it could be at your hunting lodge, it could be that it wasn't right there at your house, they shot you on your doorstep. And I talked to someone who they shot his father on his doorstep, and he saw it because he didn't hand over the gun that he didn't have. And that's where we're going with all these gun laws, the animal protection laws. This is not about puppies and kittens, protecting them. Not at all.
You know what I find really ironic is that there's, and we're going to take a real quick break, but just something to think about, is we do ignore history. And I think there are so many people in this country who essentially have really never had a hard day. And they look at the things that they've heard about in history and they truly believe that that could never happen here. But it's not like we're on another planet. We're simply an ocean away from history.
Yeah. And
to make matters worse, our kids are not being taught all of our history, or it's being revised history in some cases.
Well,
that's a whole other show.
And information, like, I guarantee by the end of the 2 hours, people will be... People are going to be surprised about this information. Anyway, let's take a quick break so we can continue on with Diane. You are listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Twice in 2 weeks.
I know. I love that song. I've heard it. I've heard it played in reference to other things. But welcome back. We're talking about HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States. If you think that they're about taking care of animals, think again.
And here's Diane.
Good morning, everybody. Well, one of the things that also, when I began to investigate about that bill, I found that the organization that put it up had members of PETA and HSUS on it, even... And nobody seemed to be talking about that. And so I went to everybody I could and said, hey, look, this is really a HSUS and PETA bill. They're here doing legislation in California. And that began to lead to the investigation. And I found out that HSUS in 1992 was thrown out of California, could not fundraise here anymore because of fraudulent fundraising activities. They lost their charter, you know, to be a corporation, a 501c3, which is a nonprofit. And here they are doing business. So you go, wonder, what happened there? How come they're still doing business? Well, what they're doing is they have so many subsidiaries or affiliates It's pretty shocking, actually, how many they do have. For instance, if you look on, they admitted on their what they call 990s. These are tax forms. And one of the ones that they were able to get is called the Ark Trust. And Wayne married the person that owned that organization. I think her name is Weiler. She had a personal assistant. And Wayne actually married her for a brief period of time and got control of Ark Trust.
Now, we have to tell people who Wayne is.
Wayne Pacell is the CEO of HSUS, but he also was the CEO of Fund for Animals. He had been under that guise before he got into HSUS. He was attacking hunters through Fund for Animals. He came up through the environmental, industry, I like to call it, of attacking companies and what have you, these environmentalists. It's an industry. And, but anyway, so he has made, once he got into the HSUS, he started basically taking over other corporations, and particularly in California, because this is where all the money is. This is where all the activity is. In fact, on FBI studies of domestic terrorism, for instance, I think it's something like during the period of time that they were looking at that, I think it was up to 93. That they did a study on that particular time, there was 136 domestic terrorist events, attacks, animal rights attacks, basically, in California, whereas the next one that came close was Maryland with like 13, which is a lot for Maryland, but you could see that they were really centering here. And in a Homeland Security report, that was done through executive order by Bush. He wanted to know who our domestic terrorists were. And actually, one of the top 10 support groups for these, shadowy domestic terrorists is HSUS. They were running a private server that they could actually give their, claim that they did this, that, and the other, and communicate with people on this server that HSUS to this day continues to support for their communication. And right now, ALF, the Animal Liberation Front, has an office in Southern California. And ELF has an office right down the street from HSUS in Washington, D.C. So if these are terrorists, it's amazing they can maintain offices.
And so ALF is Animal Liberation Front, and ELF is what?
ELF is, I think it's, Environmental Liberation Front.
Okay, I couldn't remember. It's all really interchangeable.
Trees and stuff. Yeah, and it's just, and what they found in that report, it said, you only have to read the first 10 pages. You can go to hsussucks.com. Excuse me, I hope I can say that online.
We can say that.
Maybe I should spell it, hsussucks.com. And the report is there, Homeland DHS Terrorism Report. It's a 100-page report. You can just read the first 10 pages. But on there, it also discusses how they're very aware that the same people go from organization to organization. They just go from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that, for instance, with many people in HSUS, they have been either in ALF or in PETA. They work hand in hand. One year they're over here, Compassion for Killing, et cetera. They just go back and forth, the same characters over and over. They use them. And many of them are felon arsonists that have been found guilty of doing these crimes, and yet they're hired by HSUS.
It's kind of like the Acorn thing.
It's a revolving door with these companies, and the feds know it, and they're watching them. But and for instance, when they were looking for this one guy that was bombing all banks and places in California, I think it's in Diego, and they found his car, and in his car was a check from an employee of HSUS. And
wow.
That was under congressional testimony by David Martosco. And the evidence is there. If you go to his testimony, you can just put Martosco congressional testimony, and you should be able to get the transcript online. HSUS is like paying. How could there be a check from one of their employees to this guy who's bombing places in California, wanted by the FBI? And you're going to send a check to them? Do you really think it's about they're saving puppies and kittens?
Yeah.
If you know, when I meet people that have said, oh, I'm a supporter of PHSUS, I send them a check every month, I'm like, well, then you're my enemy. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm a nice person. I'm like, because you are supporting terrorism itself. You are supporting everything, an un-American activity.
Well, and you know, these organizations really count on useful idiots.
Well, yes, I guess so, yes.
Silence.
But it's far deeper than that. They count, they're in everything. They, in fact, we had undercover people at many of their meetings, and they actually say, don't worry. They'll say, oh, they get people to join, and that's where I had to spend 3 hours with the guy. They're getting people to join to help with Prop 2. And they use, actually, Wayne Pacelli, I like to call him Pacelli because that's his real family name. He changed it slightly. He's actually related to the guy that supposedly claims, you know, the history says who orchestrated, put together the St. Valentine Day Massacre. He's related straight up the mob to all the way to Al Capone. But,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, that explains how he's so good at organizing.
Right, right. Well, when you look at their organization, when you look at their 990s, that's what they file with the IRS. Because as a nonprofit, you have to file those. They have all these layers, all these organizations. If you just look at it, they even admit it, and they have to admit it on there because they give them money. You could just go down this list of their affiliates that they control. Well, you know, we could spend 2 hours probably talking about them all. But like, for instance, one, the Center for the Respect of Life and Environment. It's like even their same address. Fund for Animals, Humane Society International, Doris Day Animal League, which is an interesting one. I'll mention later how they got that one as well. But these were some of these, for instance, ARC Trust and Doris Day Animal League were/are major nonprofits here in California. And when they got thrown out of California HSUS, they needed a way to still, quote unquote, legally. I don't believe this is legal. And we've reported it, but Attorney General does nothing, and that at the time Attorney General was Jerry Brown. We can go into that further, but they actually now get, if you write a check, if you go to a fundraising event for HSUS in this state, they will have you write out the check to Humane Society of the United States-Hollywood Office. If you go and see what, there's no form filled for that, no 990, it's ARC Trust. That they use that name because they really cannot do business here. They can't fundraise and do business. They have no charter here. And yet they're walking through the halls of the Capitol day in and day out.
Yeah, because right here it says in the information on the website, wethepeopleradio.us, it says in 1992 the California State Attorney General revoked the charter of the Humane Society of the United States for criminal behavior unbecoming a public charity. They would never be allowed to do business in the state of California again. This action followed a string of fraud, embezzlement, investigation by the SEC and their well-known ties to underground or underworld figures such as Antonio Giacalone.
Right.
Tony Jack, the infamous head of the Detroit mob, is accused of ordering or being involved in the murders of JFK, RFK, MLK, as well as Teamsters legend Jimmy Hoffa.
We were talking about the family for sure, but it goes so much further. And when you have to wonder, why do they not want us to hunt with dogs? I don't hunt, just to let you know I don't hunt, but I love hunting dogs, they're cool. And my Afghan hound, she loves to hunt. She doesn't kill anything, but she loves to hunt, and it's great to see them run and, you know, that sort of thing. But why are they attacking us? We have to think about that. You know, look at the bigger picture. Well, really what this is A, they're gaining lots of donations and power, political power. Look at the poor puppies and kittens. We're just protecting them. And people, like you say, the useful idiots fall for that. But if you look at who's on their board, it's really an awakening. One of the people that's been on their board for quite a while is Maurice Strong. And he was the architect, again, and funny, in 1992, the architect of Agenda 21 there in the Rio Summit in 92. This guy is a mover and shaker in the UN and has been. He's been the financial and senior advisor of United Nations generals, you know, the top guy, for like ever. This guy is, he's like in his 80s. Who knows when he, how long he, I guess the, you know, good die young and the evil live forever.
Seems it does seem that way.
There's some sort of a pattern forming.
Yeah.
And he, this guy, Maurice Strong, I mean, he's the godfather of the global environmentalism. He was actually the mentor to Al Gore on global warming. And they caught him cashing a check for $1 million from Tungsin Park. He's a Korean politico who was also convicted for conspiring to bribe officials on the behalf of Saddam Hussein through the UN. So when he got caught cashing that check, he took off to Beijing in 2005. And this guy, his relative of his, was very famous in Anne Strong. She was a strong supporter of Lenin and Stalin and Mao's Zedong. He's got communist family already in China, so he's basically hiding out in China. But he just appeared at the Agenda 21, the Rio Summit, plus 20, whatever. He came out of hiding just for this one, and he's urging at that summit, saying we have to hurry, and push through Agenda 21. And you have to say, okay, well, why are you talking about Agenda 21, Diane, when we're supposed to be talking about HSUA? This guy sits on his board, so you have to think, okay, what's the connection? Well, they're attacking HSUS. What they're really doing is attacking farmers, ranchers, anything they can to drive the people off their land, gain power, gain their land. It's really about your real property. When they put these laws through, they utilize, again, more useful idiots or criminals, whatever you want to call them, to be able to get your property from you. That's the racket. They are doing, among other things, what they call a pay-to-play racket in this state. And they're using our legislators to do it. There's a couple of these, the main ones would be, he was an assembly member, Nava. He's not. He termed out now, but he ran for attorney general. He's one of their main people, and he sits on the Wildlife Commission, the Blue Ribbon Commission that's under the game, fish and game. Who's trying? They're deciding what kind of policy we're going to have with a fish and game. Ted Lieu, who did the animal, who did this hunting. Bill, he has another bill up, SB 1500, which says that if your animals are seized, you have to pay for their care whether you're found guilty or not. So let's just take that into perspective. For instance, if the city of San Francisco towed my car, but it was legally parked and I could prove it, or they said I didn't pay a bunch of tickets and I proved that I had paid it, so you illegally towed it, they have to give my car back without me paying any fines or towing charge because they were in error. But Ted Lieu is putting up this un-American bill, unconstitutional, un-American, let's call for what it is, communist, a communist type of seizure where they're going to take your animals and then charge you for taking care of them. And if you're found not guilty, you still have to pay them. And I have seen the cost for even taking 8 dogs in a raid go up to $400,000.
Oh, jeez.
And so then they, even if you're not guilty, you're going to have to pay that bill. I mean, they'll bankrupt people. So in their one of their biggest moves they ever did was a couple years ago with Prop 2. We all remember that. HSUS and Farm Sanctuary put that through.
Hold on 5 seconds. We've got to take a quick break before we just have 9 hours of commercials. we're getting a little backlogged here. And I know that this Prop 2 is important, so let's do it in one chunk. Okay. We will be back with Diane Amble here talking about the Humane Society of the United States on KCNR 1460. The Home of Free Fire Media.
If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Did you get that?
That's, is that the Godfather?
Yes, it is.
That's mob music if I ever heard any.
I like it.
Hey, we're with Diane Engel.
I can smell the garlic.
Yeah, we're with Diane Engel. We're Amble. Talking about Amble. I'm sorry. I never get names right. I'm terrible.
It's probably because you keep saying that.
I know, that's true.
It's we're going to take her out back with a rubber hose here pretty quick.
The power of
the
mind.
Turn the music back on again, Bob.
We're with Aaron's got me in the alley. She's beating me up. Hey, so we're with Diane Amble.
See? Works every time.
It does.
A little encouragement.
We're talking about the Humane Society of the United States. It absolutely is not what you think it is. Don't be fooled. So you're joining We the People Radio at KCNR 1460. Don't forget to jump on the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. There is so much information about this topic. I encourage you to jump on and follow along. Okay,
now,
Diane.
Back to Prop 2.
Before I get into Prop 2, which is very important, is I want to talk about this Senator Ted Lieu that has this hunting bill up. The interesting thing, A, he was born in China. Both his parents are Chinese as well. They were Chinese nationals. Both positions, when he became assembly member and when he became a senator, he took over dead people's positions, the legislators that died in office. And he took their positions. That's a very interesting little footnote.
Okay, right there, that's not a good thing. A legislator legislator should never die in office. They ought to retire before then.
But when they do, Ted Lieu takes their spot. I think that's really
pretty. We've got to do something about those term limits.
No, wait a minute. How many times? That's a different kind of term limit. How many times?
Twice. The two times. He became assembly member by taking, I forget that person's name. I'm sorry. And then when he became senator by taking Jenny Orpeza's position. He's from Torrance area. But this guy
Big
trouble. I actually have had a big long meeting with him, and I learned at that meeting that the people writing the bills for him, he's not writing them. They are animal rights people. I sat at the table with one of them and him for over an hour because I was objecting to the unconstitutionality of a law that is now in place as of January 1st that does not allow us to, on any public right-of-way or public property or even, you know, Walmart parking lot, anywhere other than anywhere and even what they call public right-of-ways, which could be a road through your ranch, okay, that is also considered a public right-of-way. You cannot transfer, give away, or sell an animal, period. So, for instance, if you went and got some goats, you wanted some goats from the Oregon Fair, and someone else also wants them in, you know, San Diego, and you say, well, bring me those four goats, which they're tiny little things when they show them, and you stopped at the Chevron there in, let's say, Redding to offload them to somebody else's trailer or car because they're so little, that is now a crime, thanks to Ted Lieu. If you go and pass your friends, you go into the, like, National Forest or wherever, somewhere, or just a street in Reading, just on the street, in front of your street, and you give him your hunting dog to use or to, you know, go take it to someone else or whatever. That is giveaway, transfer, or sell. You were just committed a crime. And the farmers and ranchers do this all the time. They share stock. They'll meet halfway, and they'll either, you know, transfer some bunnies or some chickens or calves, and they do it halfway. They don't always do it on even horses. They do this. They unload the horse in a trailer and put it in someone else's trailer. It is now a crime unless you do it on absolute private property, and then that cannot be, quote-unquote, a public parking lot like Walmart.
Hey, Diane, let's get it down to the most basic of terms. What about all of the nonprofit organizations that rescue cats and dogs? And let's say that there's somebody that's willing to be a foster home for some of the abused animals that are rescued. You know, they get them healthy again, and then they find homes for them. I mean, how is that all affected?
Well, there is what they do in a lot of these bills, and they have like these two tiers. It's for us and then for them. They always say, oh, the 501s and the animal shelters, they're excluded from all this. Even with animal abuse, they're excluded. They call that transfer of animals animal abuse, animal cruelty. Yet when a nonprofit does it or a volunteer does it for them, it's not animal cruelty. And just like with the hunting bill, they say that when the dogs are hunting the bear and they tree the bear, that's really how it happens, they tree a bear.
They're not attacking the bear. Then no dog can handle a bear, really, per se. They just tree them. And they say that's cruelty. But when the game wardens do it, it's not cruelty. No, you can't. You should not. There's not this you know, two levels of society. That if you're an animal shelter person or a rescue, you different laws for you. So they do exclude that and say you can transfer it, but you better be a bona fide member of that 501. Because if you just say, oh, I was just doing it for them, yeah, you could be busted then. But again, and there's a penalty for each count. So let's say you transferred a whole litter of puppies or a whole six bunnies or whatever, you're going to get a charge for each one, and they're misdemeanors. The first one's an infraction, and then they become misdemeanors. And so when you are charged with a misdemeanor animal cruelty and you're found guilty, you can now, because of Nava and Lou, they put bills in, that you would now not be able to own animals for 5 years, by the way.
Good grief.
So if you're just transferring your hunting dog, you're giving it to your buddy, and you meet halfway between, let's say, Wairika and Redding, and you know, on the side on an exit, and you give them your hunting dog now, you know, here, I don't hunt anymore, you can have them. You're a criminal right there. And if you gave them two dogs, the first one is the infraction, the second one's a misdemeanor, you can't have animals anymore for 5 years. And for a felony, you can't have animals for 10 years. And that's mandatory. They made it mandatory. They took away the right of the judge to decide how egregious the crime was. It used to be the judge would decide, is that just something you get a slap on the hand, or do you? It's so bad that you don't have animals anymore. Then another bill he's got pending, this Lou, by the way, what is this? SB 1172. It's a banning gender counseling.
I saw that this week.
Doctors, anything, physicians, counselors, psychiatrists will not be able to counsel children. And often, anyone under 18, often when they are actually exposed to abuse, you know, any kind of sexual abuse, they get confused because they're kids. And so they need gender counseling to say, no, it's okay. I know you're feeling that it's wrong, and it is wrong, and whatever they do in the counseling. This bill, if it goes through, it's going to make it where you can't take your kid. Let's say your kid somehow was molested by the guy down the street. You know, it happens. Okay, grabs your kid, and your kid has, you know, these problems now. This bill will make it illegal for any professional to help your child. And I'm not kidding. And if you look at Agenda 21's tenets, this is one of them. I mean, they wanted, and the communists as well said, we want to basically destroy the family unit. What has built America is always the family, family traditions and values, and this is part of it. So this is not about protecting anybody. This is about it's very harmful to children, and I'm very very upset about that one, and I think a lot of people in the country are beginning to know who Ted Lieu. In fact, former Congressman Tom Tancredo, I don't know if you guys know him. Mm-hmm. He's actually coming to Santa Clara on July 10th in Mountain View. You can go to BayAreaGOP.com, and his topic is the transformation of America will continue even if Obama is defeated. And the reason I bring him up is because Ted Lieu is on his radar. And this guy is a great American, Tancredo. I believe he's from Colorado. And he's talking about Ted Lieu now. So we've got this guy born in China doing all these anti-American type values and bills here that are really wiping us out here in California. And, you know, I'm sure there are other areas that it would go to once they see that they can pass it and the law would stand. But let's talk about Prop 2. And Prop 2, when they put that forward, and what that did was they claim that the way that our farmers raise animals here is cruel, inhumane. And they targeted chickens, egg layers, chickens, the hens that lay eggs. They targeted hogs. We hardly have any hog farming here. And the little male calves that they, you know, they can't use, the dairy calves, they make into veal. And that's how it started so long ago. Probably even in Italy, where if you had a male calf, what are you going to do with them? You can't, they don't grow, those dairy cows don't grow any meat per se, very little meat to raise them up to larger, mostly a sack of bones because they just don't grow the kind of meat that beef cows do. So you feed it up a little bit for a while, and then you eat them while they're young. And so that's how veal is. Well, there's really hardly any of those two industries, hog and veal, but they added that in. Just like here where they talk about hunting bobcats and bear, I think very few people hunt bobcats, so they just throw it in to round it out. But anyway, so they campaigned with Farm Sanctuary, a very radical group that supposedly had been done quite a few terrorist-type activities. I don't know if they were found guilty, but they were alleged. But they put that bill up, and here's HSUS funding. They spent millions and millions and millions of dollars getting this through here in California. The Fair Political Practices Commission was notified and given all the documentation that HSUS was funneling money through their affiliates, like Doris Day Animal League. They loaned them $500,000, and like the next day, Doris Day Animal League then gave $500,000 to the Prop 2 initiative. Californians for Humane Farming. And so that is racketeering when you move the money around. In other words, you conspire to do something and you get more than two people to do it, then you get your conspiracy. So the Fair Political Practices Commission said, oh, that's clearly racketeering. They took the case to Jerry Brown. He was Attorney General at the time. And guess what? Crickets.
On that note, we've got to cram in one more break here before the top of the hour. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Bless the beast and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Hey, we're back with you.
We're going to make it
People
quick.
Radio.
Sorry, I was still putting my ears on.
We're in chaos this morning. All right, Diane.
Let me clarify one thing that a lot of people may not understand about racketeering, or what they call it, RICO.
Sure.
Our country realized a long time ago that there was, you know, during the mob days, that there were these kind of activities where they form these schemes, they conspire, and they called it racketeering. And they put in Title 18 that said if you did anything, and it would be, and it's against the nation. Anytime you do a racket, that's against America, to the point that it's basically treasonous. If you conspire, you scheme, you conspire, and then you build your artifice. You scheme. It's a scheme and artifice racketeering. You build your artifice, in other words, your organization, your infrastructure, to be able to do a racket, whether it's selling liquor, drugs, prostitution, whatever, that's a racket. So what they're doing on a global level, national and global level, is building these rackets. One of them, for instance, is the cap-and-trade racket that Maurice Strong is behind, using people like Al Gore, where they want to make it a new thing. I mean, cap-and-trade, they want to trade something that doesn't even exist.
And on that note,
we've got a five-minute news break. We're really sorry. We knew we'd be all jammed up here. We're coming back with Diane Amble in the second hour. We'll be right back with you here at We the People
Radio.
5 minutes,
grab coffee.
5 minutes.
More of We the People here at KCNR. Shasta Redding after the news.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's hour two of We the People Radio. You are with Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. We're talking today about the Humane Society of the United States, and Aaron and I were talking off air how amazingly convenient it is when you take a nice word like humane that people can tie directly to their local humane societies when in fact they're not connected. to kind of fool the general public about what the purpose of the Humane Society of the United States really is. So anyway, if you want more information, jump on wethepeopleradio.us. There is an absolute truckload of information on there this morning about Diane Amble, today's guest, and all of the information about HSUS, all their connections, and where this really leads. So we're back for another hour, Diane.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Sorry to cut you off so quickly at the end there.
That's okay. No worries.
The computer waits for no one.
but I wanted to reiterate that what racketeering is, that's when you, it's a criminal enterprise, and Title 18, it's a federal crime, and people have tried to do rackets, mostly organized crime, for, you know, decades and decades here. That's why they made it a crime. So we've got Maurice Strong in Agenda 21. He's the father of global warming, global environmentalism. He was Al Gore's mentor. So he's busy doing that racket, and we're busy falling for it. People putting in the cap and trade, AB 32, all these things here in California, so they'll get a piece of the action on your breathing, basically. I mean, you breathe out carbon dioxide. A dog breathes out carbon dioxide. A cow, a horse, whatever, we all do. And that's what trees take in, carbon dioxide. That's their air, and they want to make that a pollutant, which is ridiculous, and tax you for it. Then we have on the other side HSUS that's leading the charge, taking over all these organizations, Doris Day Animal League, Ark Trust, and they're trying to take over Best Friends and ASPCA. Those are two of the big ones. And so that they can control all that, and what are they doing? They're building a scheme and artifice. With Prop 2 that they put in place, and they got it through because they were able to do, allowed by our Attorney General to do misleading ads saying this is what it really means, when it had nothing to do with California or even the animals. They showed beef lots when it had nothing to do with beef at all, and yet people, oh, that's so terrible, and people voted for it, not really realizing that when at that time eggs were about 59 cents a dozen, and they quickly jumped to about $1.50 a dozen. And at that time I was very active in trying to fight it, and I asked the head of one of the national egg organizations, why have the eggs, this isn't even in place, it's not even been passed at all at the ballot box, why are eggs already now doubling and tripling? And they said because the egg farmers in California are no longer investing. They're leaving, and so that drives up the cost. They're not reinvesting. They're not buying more hens, chicks to have, you know, et cetera. So that is driving up the cost. And it was amazing. And so people fell for it. They voted it in. And through the investigation, you know, what I found was that HSUS had a for-profit organization, in other words, corporation, not nonprofit, for-profit, in place called the Humane Farm Animal Care or Certified Humane. They call it different things, where they'll go to your farm and they will charge you $500 a day to see that you're, you know, raising your chickens right. Then they get there's a whole pay rate, but it's something like, let me see, I have my notes here. For instance, if it's cattle and they're inspecting, it's $1 a head. If it's eggs, it's 5 cents, I think, on the dozen or case. And you have to pay monthly to have that certified humane designation. And, I mean, if you want to do it, it's voluntary. You want to say your eggs are certified humane, hey, have at it. You know, there are people that want to buy those eggs for $4.50 a dozen, fine. But then what happened, not only did the people pass it and it went through illegally, and when you say, why didn't the chicken farmers fight it more? They did. But HSUS sued the chicken farmers personally and their organizations and social associations. It was sort of a slap suit, and it never went anywhere, alleging that they were, you know, doing some sort of wrong with their collecting money to try and fight HSUS, fight Prop 2. And so they all sort of ducked, their attorneys told them, run, run, and so that money, the millions they needed to fight Prop 2, were sealed up with the court. The court even said that they couldn't even use that money that they had collected. I mean, it was like crazy. So Prop 2 goes through, and then we have Jared Huffman. Hello, people there in Northern California from Marin up. Jared Huffman, a rabid environmentalist here in Marin, and he brought up this bill called AB 1437, which said that if any eggs, so when Prop 2 passed, it meant that no eggs could be raised in California unless they're certified humane, inspected and certified. Well, there's the racket right there called pay to play. You wouldn't be able to sell your eggs if you didn't prove that they were certified, humanely raised. So then Huffman puts up the bill, 1437, saying that no eggs could come into California, be sold into California at all, unless they were certified humane. So then it takes it to the national level. Well, I testified in committee there, and I said, and I notified Jared Huffman's office again and again and again that he was participating in a racketeering activity. This is RICO, and he was facilitating it. He didn't want to talk to me, but I talked to a lot of his staff very, very intensely with the proof. And when I testified in the committees in the legislature, they were able to stop it. But on the, and I felt, okay, it's gone. We proved that it's a racket. Nobody's voting for it. Even though we had several people get up, slam doors, legislators and stuff, they were very ticked off about the testimony. But at the very last day of the legislature, they brought it out of the closet. And voted on it and passed it. And that's what you call racketeering.
It's legal
now,
shakedown.
Now, any eggs that are sold here, comes in from here, anything, they are going to have to pay a toll to the troll. HSUS and their affiliates will get like 5 cents on the case of eggs, etc., everything sold. Now, if that's not a racket, what is? You're letting a supposed, humane society of something that's supposed to be helping animals get a piece of the action on a major food product. Eggs are in everything, that almost everything. There are things that you eat that you can't even imagine an egg is in there. But eggs have very amazing properties. They make food have a certain texture. They add protein to food. It makes it a more viable product. I mean, I met with Senator Yee, and I said, Senator Yee, when Prop 2 was on the table, was even passed, I said, you've got to help stop this because you know a lot of your constituents in San Francisco, they're elderly. The only protein they're getting is one egg stirred in a cup of soup at night, and that's it. How are you, if the price of eggs goes like twofold, threefold, fourfold, what are they going to eat, half an egg that night? And the kids that go home, sometimes their only really good meal is at school. They go home and they have beans and rice, and if they're lucky, one egg on top of it. What are they going to have, half an egg, or maybe at some to some point no egg? Well, that's what happened. Price of eggs have zoomed up, and Prop 2 is not even officially in place yet. So this is racketeering. Title 18 even says on federal, because they tried to control eggs during World War II. And cause a racket because there's, the army marches on its stomach and lots of eggs are sold to the military. We needed it during the war, a lot of eggs, and we always do. If you ask the troops, they eat eggs, a lot of eggs. They, in Title 18, they put in there that you could not regulate or control the production of meat products and especially eggs. And here it is. And our legislators are doing it for us.
And Diane, when did that pass?
Prop 2, I think it was 2009.
Okay.
I believe it passed. I'm sorry if I have the date wrong. But they actually, in other words, HSU gave money to all these different affiliates that they have, millions, let them donate, and everybody that was there. I mean, there are even people in the Department of Fish and Game that donated for to the California Humane, et cetera. And we've got this guy, Nava. Both Nava and Lou ran for attorney general. And so these, very, very typical of organized crime, they want to make sure they get one of their people in every position. Whether it's the police department, the police chief, the attorney general, even your local, like Los Angeles. I mean, there's deputy attorney generals or whatever they're called there in Los Angeles. They're sitting in Lou's office all the time, like it's their command post, and they are animal rights advocates. And they're using Lou all the time. I mean, all these people are connected. So that's a connection. We've got, this is organized crime taking over our state, taking the food out of the mouths of children, our elderly, and Jerry Brown sits there and does nothing, even when the proof is in front of his face, in black and white. His own agency's Fair Political Practices Commission said it was clearly RICO. And they're still coming here. How could HSUS, that was thrown out of here, be able to walk the halls and put through Prop 2? That should be declared illegal. it would save our farming industry. And so now they're expanding to win this bill, 1500, that Lou's doing. So if they march on your farm and say, you are not taking good care of your cows, we have to take them. And then you have to prove you are taking good care of your cows. You'll still pay the bill for them removing your cows and God knows hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then that would be levied against your property. They could put that fine on your property. Well, that's what they're doing. It's piecemeal. It's incrementalism.
Yeah,
they put all the things in place, the steps on the stairs, till they can get to the top where you don't get to do anything without paying a toll to the troll. It's called pay-to-play scheme. It's organized crime.
See if we can't find a troll song here.
And we got Dava sitting on the Fish and Game Wildlife Blue Ribbon Commission. These people are crooks.
Okay, we want to know more about that guy because that actually is not a familiar name. Ted Lieu and Jared Huffman.
He was an assembly member in Santa Barbara.
Okay, well, and we'll do that on the other side of our break.
So we don't have all the breaks at the end again. You are listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Diane Amble talking about the Humane Society of the United States, or lack of humane there is. Lots of that. Listen to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
And they called it puppy love.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I'm your house. I'm your house. I'm your house. I'm your house.
Okay, what is it?
It's the theme from Animal House.
Who sings that?
Stephen Bishop. Believe it or not.
Oh, no kidding.
That was in the movie Animal House?
I never would have. I never would have guessed that.
That fits.
Oh,
I like Puppy Love, too. That was funny.
We're with Diane Amble. We're talking about HSUS, Humane Society of the United States, and all that it really not is. So, Diane, jump back on.
Okay. Well, thank you again for having me. I wanted to show you another little part of this scheme that these people, all connected to each other, are doing. And we bring up, again, Energy, Marie Strong. That guy that brought me into this, Lloyd Levine, that one that he did, tried to do that spay-neuter bill, we called him Light Bulb Levine because he tried to make it illegal in California to have incandescent light bulbs. So we said, you know, what an idiot, Light Bulb Levine. It didn't pass at the time. He also did the plastic bag thing and started that. In the meantime, what has happened on the federal level is they did basically ban incandescent light bulbs, say that it'll be illegal to sell them at a certain date or to even import them. And where do they make the quote-unquote energy-efficient ones that are filled with mercury?
China.
And yet, where does Maurice Strong live? And it's his stronghold. He's an advisor to a financial minister. Yeah, and where does Wayne Pacelli send his people all the time?
China.
Or not, to China. He has a Humane Society of the United States Hong Kong office. And some of his main, what I call them, lieutenants, go back and forth to China. They say they're helping animals over there. I don't think so. So here we have this massive connection to China taking away, we're like all our manufacturing. We can't even afford, we won't be able to afford those light bulbs. And those light bulbs are actually toxic that they're selling. They have mercury in them, so when they get into a landfill, what do we do with them anyways when we're done with them? When they get in a landfill, the mercury goes into our groundwater and our soil. So how are they better? There's nothing better than an incandescent light bulb, if you ask me, except for maybe LEDs are pretty cool. So here, again, that's part of the scheme and artifice. They get these legislators in who are part of them, and then they make these bills to make it illegal to sell anything else, the competition. If I wanted to buy a, energy-efficient light bulb, those little weird bulbs, then that should be my choice, or if I want incandescent. But they're taking away our rights. They're taking away our rights of what we eat. We won't be able to eat you know, certain kinds of foods right now. For instance, they'll probably ban veal in due time. They banned that, what, that foie gras, et cetera. They're taking away our rights to make choices, and as they control it, they make a profit when they can control it. And they're doing it up and down. And when we had undercover people going to these meetings, they said to the people, would say, well, oh, well, you can't breed, you can't have more than 10 dogs or breed them or whatever. And they said, oh, that's too much, these activists. Oh, they shouldn't have any. They're enslaving those dogs. And I said, don't worry. When we get this bill in, this was in New York, when we get this bill in, it'll be 10, then it'll be 8, then it'll be 6, then it'll be 4. Don't worry that once we get the bill in, then we can change it later. And then they also assured them and they said, but don't worry, even if that so-and-so senator blocks us or whatever, the staffers are our people. So when the senator leaves, our staff stays and they then carry on with the next senator. And if you go to the legislature here in the Capitol, that's exactly what we have. We have people that are rabid ARs. They were paying their salaries, their state employees, and they're pushing these bills. They're telling senators and assembly members that, oh, this is what it means, and then they block anybody else from getting to them to give them the real information. I mean, literally, to get my audience with Lou, I had to grab him in the hall and demand an appointment with him because they were blocking me. I mean, I literally grabbed him. So good thing I wasn't killed or something doing it, you know. But we have them there. We're paying for them. So we have not only the problem of voting in and out these no-good crooks, these corrupt politicians, and again, corruption is the reason that we have all this happening to us in America right now, but we have those staffers that we pay till they retire, and people like Lloyd Levine, just go back to Mr. Lightbulb Levine, luckily he's not in the legislature anymore, but he was originally a staffer for Senator Hayden, who was married to Jane Fonda. Don't we all just love her?
Ew.
And by the way, I understand she's going to play in a movie Nancy Reagan.
Are you? No.
Yes,
I swear I think that's on the table right now in Hollywood. Weird. But anyways, he was a staffer, and they made the bill where the supposedly extending the time of animals being kept at the shelter before they're killed. Well, what they built into that, it, since they made it mandatory, when the legislature makes anything mandatory and it affects an agency like animal control, then they're able to bill the state with a mandate fund and say, you made it so instead of keeping them 3 days, we keep them 7 days, so you got to pay now for half our costs. And since we have to have more animals there, we have to build million-dollar facilities. Before you know it, every shelter was building mega facilities, especially in Los Angeles, 7 of them, and they were using eminent domain even to take people's property to build them, and they were paying all these contractors that, guess what, were buddies of HSUS, where now not only were they getting the money to build them and the contractors were paid to build them, but they were being able to build the state legislature, the comptroller, whatever, for the money for doing all that, millions and millions and millions, for keeping the animals. So it behooved them to keep them, not even to adopt them out because they got paid more money. Because they didn't pay them, according to that bill that Lloyd Levine claims he helped write as the staffer, it did not even, there was no incentive to adopt them out. There was an incentive to keep them the 7 days and then kill them because you got money for sure. If you adopted them out, you got some money, but not as much as what the racket was doing. So when they do that was a deliberate bill. People go, oh, poor puppies and kittens. Surely I think poor puppies and kittens. I love animals. I love children. I'd like them to keep them forever, not kill a single one. I believe in no-kill policies. But I do not believe in making it mandatory so that the taxpayer has to foot the bill for a racket. And that's what happened. They built the animal shelter system, just like we have this prison system that's very corrupt. We have now an animal shelter system that's very corrupt, and they did it through the legislature illegally, really basically. It was an illegal way that they actually got this.
So Diane,
and Lloyd Levine was part of it as a staffer, and then he became an assembly member and then tried to, you know, take away our light bulbs.
Hey, Diane, real quickly before we go to our next break, paint a picture of the connection or lack thereof between the Humane Society of the United States and, for instance, the local Haven Humane Society.
Well, they will operate with them slightly. For instance, if they're going to, they want to do a raid, if they want to talk about, like, right now we don't want to, you know, they don't want bunnies to be sold or something like that, and they might do a raid, they'll utilize a local humane society or a local type like that, nonprofit usually, or rescue, and they'll give them money because they're doing their bidding, because they want to have a new law about raising bunnies, for instance. So they always do that. Whenever we see that there's a big raid, shortly afterwards, you know, that gets in the media, oh, the person had, you know, 100 bunnies or whatever, then all of a sudden a law quickly follows it. So they will give them money, often when it's in tandem with one of these raids, or they'll give them $100 or $1,000 a year. But it's less than 1%. The money is used for, they have a massive, they have something like $200 million in investments, invested, you know, like stock market or God knows what, and their salaries are immense. Wayne says, oh, I only get a little salary. He gets a salary from all the different organizations that are the affiliates that he sits on. So people think, like, oh, he doesn't get paid that much. Yes, he does. And he also owns part of the companies that service the Humane Society of the United States. In other words, when you get, you probably have seen it in your life, a direct mailer, you get an envelope and there's a magnet in there, or, you know, some little gimmicky thing like, oh, if you're a member, you'll get this and this and this from us. Well, he owns an invested interest in those companies, or some of the board members do. One, you know, it's not, you know, they sort of move it around.
They sort of spread
them.
The wealth.
So yes, yeah, spread the wealth. Yeah, that's right. And so they get the profits, plus their salaries of being on the boards of all these nonprofits. So believe me, they're making plenty of money, and they know which way to invest, because they're beginning to control our food production, for instance. You know, with the eggs, that's a clear thing. I mean, wake up, people. Prop 2 drastically raised the price of our eggs, and we haven't seen the end of it yet. And people voted for that. That thing needs to be repealed.
Take a quick break, and, you know, when we come back, I think it'd be kind of nice to hear about the Doris Day Foundation. There's a lot of information on our website. It is creepy. And and recently I bought
that happy little picture of Doris Day. Then yes. You start to read the article. It's like,
yeah, it's a skin crawler. So on that note, you want me to take her out, or are you okay now?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
The lid on my coffee cup shut. And I nearly aspirated.
Be careful how you throw around that term "take her out" today.
I thought it was aspirated. I was looking.
We almost took Aaron out.
Yeah, we did a little bit. So we're talking to Diane Amble. We're talking about the Humane Society of the U.S. Join us on the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. No connection there to the U.S. part. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Be right back.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Santa, Santa, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
And we're back. So, so that's Doris Day, and the Doris Day Foundation, which is supposedly a foundation of animal lovers. Interestingly enough, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will find a really fascinating story about Doris Day and her son, Terry Melcher, and the Manson murders, the Sharon Tate murders, took place in Terry Melcher's house.
Hit it, Diane.
Well, I don't think we can actually cover this one. It is so deep and convoluted. You can't talk about Doris Day Animal League without talking about Best Friends, which is one of the top, I would say, top three animal charities in the nation. They're in Utah. They used to be in basically in California also, but they moved to Utah. And they were originally, Best Friends were actually a bunch of English people that were satanic worshipers that had come over to this country and Mexico, and a small group. And they formed something called the Process Church. It was satanic worship. And they were all over the United States kicking around, trying to get donations, you know, for their church, when they soon realized that they could get more donations if they were an animal charity. And so they formed Best Friends, and all of a sudden, money started pouring in. What a great racket. And this is the same racket that Wayne Pacelli realized when he started out, that, you know, you can get money for puppies and kittens, and it's very hard to get money for satanic worship.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Most people are really funny about stuff like that.
It's difficult. if you want to sell toilet paper, what do you put on the commercial?
A little kid, or an animal.
Or a puppy or a kitten. And, you know, it's got nothing to do with toilet paper, but, you know, all of a sudden you're selling it. So the process was in existence in California. We had lots and lots of murders here in California. The cops were finding people satanically killed. They were finding animals all over California dead under satanic worship. They would find evidence. And these people from the process were in these areas. And Manson had actually joined them. He was at many of their different events, especially here in San Francisco, Santa Cruz. And Melcher met Manson. Manson thought he was a great, you know, rock and roll guy. And Terry Melcher was actually the producer for the Beach Boys, the Byrds, Paul Revere and the Raiders. He was like a mover and shaker. And Manson wanted to produce him. They say he had some talent singing or writing or something. But he scared the bee-gees out of Melcher. He was probably threatening him. He probably realized what he was. And allegedly, the murders that happened at Sharon Tate's house was really directed at Terry Melcher. They probably were mistaken and thought Terry Melcher was there because he had leased the property to Sharon Tate and her husband.
Oh.
And he had moved out. But that was probably intended for him. And he was so frightened that he even checked himself into a, you know, asylum, whatever you want to call it, for a while. His mother gave him control of the Doris Day Animal League. And before you knew it, Wayne Pacelli had possession of it. How?
Wow.
We don't know.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Best Friends website, and it's funny because, I mean, the average person would never have a clue that there's something behind this. I mean, they've got the most wonderful photographs, but the very first thing at the very top is donate today, and on the links that they give on the side, the very first one is give to Best Friends.
Well, listen, Los Angeles has just turned over their shelters to Best Friends. And think about it.
Yeah, there's something on there about that.
Yeah, they have turned over their shelters to them. It's a mega multi-million dollar operations. Very large, very fancy shelters, et cetera. It's a big business in Los Angeles. But when you think about it, all right, if you're still doing satanic rituals, what's the best thing to do? If you're in charge of shelters and killing animals, and all those shelters have incinerators, crematoriums, where they, in fact, if you go almost to all of them, they have it on site. Not all of them, but many, many, many shelters have a crematorium on site because they're killing animals all the time. They shouldn't call them shelters. We should go back to pounds I call them concentration camps or killing mills. Because they kill those animals. If you find an animal, I swear it's better to turn it back out onto the street because it'll probably have a better chance of surviving than going into a quote-unquote shelter. It's almost like certain death. People need to think about that unless it's an absolute no-kill shelter with no-kill policies, lots of volunteers, people fostering, placing animals, etc. not your typical shelter like, for instance, in Los Angeles. But anyway, so they have control of those shelters. They've got these crematoriums now, so they can do their satanic rituals and get rid of the evidence. I'm not saying they're all doing that, but sure does would fit in, wouldn't it?
Elizabeth just fell on the ground.
Yes. In fact, the mob was known to do this when they would off somebody, like maybe Jimmy Hoffa. Gee, what do you do? You take it to your friend who owns the funeral home where they have a crematorium.
Yeah.
Hello?
Once the cement plants were all filled up.
The cement plant isn't good enough.
No.
By the way, Wayne Pacelli did work at a cement plant, one of his first jobs, his uncle.
That's where they make
cement shoes.
Okay, so wait, before we leave Doris Day, we have Sam Oliver on the phone, and she wanted to pipe in here. Sam, are you in there?
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Did you have a question for Diane or a comment for...
She's going to pile on, I think.
For the Doris Day Foundation.
Actually, she wanted. She had some additional information after we were finished with the Doris Day story.
Well, we're moving away from Doris
Day. Let's hear it. Let's go.
Yeah, go for it.
Right now?
Yeah, right now, Sam. You're on the air.
Diane left off one thing. How did this get started in California, in the state of California? How did they get their tentacles so deep into our legislature? Go back to the 90s. A civil code bill was passed by some corrupt legislatures, and it was 14300 through 05. And it was giving police powers, police officer powers, to nonprofit SPCAs. So when can a private corporation, including a nonprofit that is untrained, get police powers to get to wear guns, to have patrol cars, to be hooked into the local police department, to wear badges and uniforms, and go out and raid private citizens? How could that happen? It can't under our California Constitution and our U.S. Constitution. It has to be a district attorney or the attorney general only. And what they have done is they've infiltrated the judges, become friends with them, and the SPCAs, HSUSs, and other nonprofit humane societies are applying and getting warrants from our local judges. How can this happen?
And bypassing the district attorney.
They're bypassing the district attorney. And HSUS also paid off our Los Angeles district attorney. They give them money all the time for awards and plaques and dinners, and they wine and dine them. It's going on all the time through the ARC Trust office. And Cooley, he is so corrupt, it just makes me want to puke. And, you know, the sooner we can get out of California, the better. And what is really sad is all of this goes back to HSUS in the form of being paid for humane certification and other little racketeering scams and artifices. Going back to 1995 and 94 when Wayne Pacelle worked his way into HSUS, I have the board meetings and all the notes from the late 87 through 90s and how they were talking among themselves about all the donations from estates, little old ladies' estates, and they were laughing about how they were running it through their bank accounts and what they had to run and what they didn't run. And anything that wasn't in an official bank account was put in their pockets, like safety deposit boxes and jewelry and what was left in the house and the antiques that were sold and given and distributed. I have documentation off LexisNexis that shows some of the properties that they seized in other states, particularly one in Utah and one in Texas. They sold from one volunteer to another for $10. So it's a transfer of seized property or stolen property. And what HSUS does on the, like on the bunny raids, which she was talking about, they'll get a local SPCA to go to their local judge, get a warrant, which is illegal, no corporation can get a warrant. It's like giving a warrant to Kmart to go and raid the product off the shelves of Walmart. And whoever is friends with the judge is going to get that warrant. And then they go out to the property, knock on the door, beat the hell out of the owners of the house, hold them at gunpoint, and in one case used a big rifle and put in a 60-year-old woman's mouth and a 9mm to her forehead, grabbed her by the boobs and dragged her out of the house for 3 hours, and David Havard of the Los Angeles SPCA kept his hands on her boobs, pushing her up against a building while they were raiding her house and killing her animals. They took her to court. The judge there ordered a $450,000 caretaking fee to the SPCA Los Angeles, which was dropped to $250,000 because that's all her property was worth. They put a criminal judgment against this 60-year-old woman who's now in a wheelchair, can't walk, can't pay it, and isn't eating well. And the SPCA will end up with her property, which is over in Echo Park, which is a very expensive property. The house is not worth much, but they will end up with that property on her death. And they terrorize these old women to make them die sooner. I have 22 death certificates from around the country where this has happened, and some have just given up and committed suicide.
Oh my
One
God.
Was in Monterey Park. A Humane Society got a warrant, went in on a school teacher who had retired. She had six kitties, the loves of her life. She didn't have any family. Her husband had died. She was retired. She had six cats. Oh, that's two cats too many. They seized all six of them and killed them. She was found in the bathtub after she'd written a note, which I have a copy of, that she couldn't go on. She wrote the note to her friend, "My life is too sad. I have no one. My kitties are dead." She slit her wrists and died in the bathtub.
Oh, jeez.
This goes on all the time, and if they don't slit the wrists and die in the bathtub or have a stroke, they disappear in other ways and die strangely if they have large properties. The main target group of these SPCAs and humane societies are people over 50, usually a woman or a man alone on their property. They have no bills, their property is paid off, and they target them for horses, goats, dogs, cats, sheep, whatever. They break into the house, they steal all the antiques out of the house, with their criminal felon employees, including animal control is in on this now in LA County. And then they are dragged into court for animal cruelty. The judges automatically let the city or county win. Most of it's L.A. City. And there is one particular city attorney that handles all the L.A. City cases, and his name is Donald Kochek. And he goes out and has been on the board of directors of the LASPCA here in L.A. County, and he rides with them. They look for places to target, and he has access to find out if it's a senior citizen, if it's one person living on that property or whatever, and then he gets to prosecute the case. Well, they've got another scam, too. Once they're found guilty, he sends them to a driving school, which teaches animal cruelty and how not to do it. And it costs a lot of money. And they also get a mandate fee back from the state. I checked with the owner of the driving school in Van Nuys, California, and he kept hanging up on me. His wife was a broker, a real estate broker. He had never had any training in animal cruelty, and he was teaching classes on animal cruelty, and so were his 19- and 20-year-old employees that worked at this driving school. So that is another racketeering enterprise.
Samantha, we have to take, we have to take a break. Do me a favor. We'd like to pull your phone number from you when we go on break here, so please don't hang up.
And come back on the other side of the break.
What the heck do we say here? Okay, so you've been listening to We the People Radio. It has gone completely to the dark side today, which is good. I mean, it's good somebody's finally learning about it. We're here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. You gotta fight the powers.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Lost my sense of direction.
talking with Diane Amble. We're talking about HSUS, Humane Society of the United States, and our caller Sam is another investigative reporter, and we're hoping she's going to join us next week.
Yeah, we're working on that because that was there's way too much information in there. So, Diane, back to you.
Well, okay. Well, one of the things that as they have, LA has been under this kind of assault for quite a while, and they're expanding it. And so, but what we see is that they're going after farmers or ranchers. These are the people that have the valuable property. Some of the ways that they're going after them is putting these Agenda 21 regulations in place locally so that it can give more power to the local authorities to take people's land under whatever, whether it's you're not raising your cattle right, you're polluting the water, whatever it is. And these are things that are coming straight down from Maurice Strong sitting on the board of HSUS, and people need to wake up, go to their county supervisor meetings, look in the local codes and say, what's there that's giving this illegal power to take your property? Believe me, they're not really after your puppies and kittens. Not really. Your cattle. They're after your property. And if they can control the production of food, all the better. So, or control even the water that you can't raise your livestock and what have you. So they are, it's teamwork. It is it's the corruption of our society and our governments. If you look at other countries in the world, they are corrupt. And that's why they could never get to the level that the United States was with free enterprise, where you could go out, start a business, make something of yourself through hard work. This is opposite. This is a form of fascism, communism, to control the production, the ownership of property, control free enterprise, production of whatever, you name it, whether it's light bulbs or cattle. And so if we sit by and let this happen in our counties, we have these legislators that are corrupt at the Capitol. Until we break these chains of corruption, we're not going to be able to stop this.
And, you know, the irony of it is, when I mentioned earlier that there are so many folks that seem to think that Europe is the model that we need to emulate ourselves after. You know, they fancy that Europe is the way to go, but they won't ever take the time to study the history.
Like in England, I believe it's a 50% tax. They have socialized medicine, but you can believe that you wait quite a long time to get any services, and they're certainly not doing heart transplants and kidney transplants and the things that we're able to get in this country. You cannot start a business in England. You have to either have a family that already has a business and join on. You cannot start a business there. The corruption is so thick. Just go try. Anybody, go try and start a business in Europe. Go ahead. Here in this country, for the most part, you might have to pay a bunch of permits, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And here in San Francisco, it's crazy as a permit to get a permit. But the more you hamper businesses and free enterprise, the less money there'll be for us to be free, to be able to feed our families and what have you. But when they control things like the food production, control the water, it's crazy how the environmentalists have stopped the water to many of the farms here in California over a little smelt. That's like a little minnow, a little junk piece of fish. We're sitting by and allowing it. We've got to help the farmers. Even though they're the few, they're busy producing, we're busy eating. If you want to still eat, you need to help these guys say, hey, we don't want this kind of thing to happen at the legislature anymore. Vote out people like Ted Lieu and Jared Huffman. And in that area, a lot of you will be able to vote for Jared Huffman all along the coast here. Jared Huffman has a huge area. We need to make sure that guy doesn't get in, because he is a part and parcel of HSUS, big time. He is one of their operators.
He's also the guy that started that Department of Fish and Game visioning project.
Which then Pedro Nava all of a sudden got appointed to the board, and that was supposed to be stakeholders. Does Nava have does he hunt? Does he have any kind of land in that area? Nothing. No. How is he a stakeholder to be appointed to that? So you see how it works. They set it up. That's the artifice. Then they get their people in. And then even though you can go there and you can say, oh, this is wrong, it's already a done deal. It's decided. They call it the Delphi technique. But they have their people in place already. You could scream to your lungs. You got to vote these people out. do whatever you can, particularly on the local level. That's where you have your power. You go to your local board of supervisors, make sure those people are for you, not against you, and that's where you can start. We can take our country back county by county. It's very hard to do anything in Washington or the state capitol because the corruption is so thick.
And also, I think we need to make the point that anymore, you've got to be really, really careful who you donate your money to. I mean, you better know exactly where it's going. And I think your safest bet, if you really want to help animals, give it to the local, not shelters, but some of the nonprofits that rescue animals.
Make sure that they have a foster program. Ask for their books. You want to see their 990s. Where's their money going?
And the 990s, you can get those online, correct?
Easy.
They're public information.
Yes, that's good. That's why they have to file them. And if they don't have a 990, then they're not legit. And that doesn't mean they're not good people. But they very well probably using the money to pay for their rent and their groceries and stuff. But they still might be saving animals, so you have to make that call yourself, but you won't be able to deduct the money that you donate. But when people say, well, I can't donate to PETA or HSUS, Diane, who should I donate to? How about Wildlife Federation Society? Nope, that's affiliate of HSUS. I mean, I go down the list. People say, well, what about this one? They'll call me up and say, what about this one? What about this one? I'm like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of those that are international and they show little pictures of little seal pups, they're not real.
And you know what? You're just paying for somebody's salary.
Well, at the end of the day, too, the other thing, especially for those of us who live in rural areas, we really, really have to pay attention to what's going on with our neighbors. So when we hear that some elderly person has been racked up on animal abuse charges or whatever, this is not the time to walk away and let them fend for themselves.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean,
you got to pull together.
This is literally where our communities can come in and help these folks because it sounds like they're getting picked off one by one.
They are.
Well, they're targeted.
Exactly. But they'll target, believe me, when Lou gets this bill in that says, this SB 1500 saying that you have to pay guilty or not, and they start taking the cattle off of ranches, that's what they're going to go after. I assure you, the big farmers, for instance, if there's a penalty, something like, I don't know, 1,000 or 10,000, I don't even know what it is right now, for each misdemeanor on animal cruelty. And when you have millions of chickens in your hen house,
Diane,
we're coming up on our hard break.
We're coming up on the news and the next program, actually. Thank you,
Alrighty.
Diane Amble,
well,
for all the info.
For me.
We're doing it again later.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you, Diane Abel. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Aaron. And Don Shulman and Judy Maxwell are up next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.